Sure.
Okay. Is it okay if I interview everybody?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Can we start maybe with your first and last name, your major, and then the contact info?
Okay. Dan Taylor. Major is industrial design, and contact info, my phone number is 425-387-5675.
Okay. Abby, you can go next.
My name is Leia Cohen-Spita. I can spell that out.
Yes.
Okay, so Leia, L-E-A-H, Cohen, C-O-H-E-N, hyphen, S-A-P-I-D-A. And then I'm an industrial design major, and my phone number is 206-948-9610.
I'm Ashkon Nima. You can spell that A-S-H-K-O-N, last name is N-I-M-A. I'm an industrial design major, and you can call me at 425-326-0909.
Okay, so I'm going to start off. I looked at your guys' website. I just want to, like, clarify, I read this article not too long ago. Did this start, this started a while ago, like the creation of this, was it back in December, last December?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought.
It launched in December. What we did is we had a fundraiser where the design started off with, I guess the IDSA group started it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we worked with the sophomore class to kind of generate and make every model.
Yeah, every year the student chapter of IDSA, Industrial Design Society of America,
mm-hmm.
Our student chapter here puts on a fundraiser to try to raise funds to go towards some of the things that we do. So we do a spring break trip where we get to visit a bunch of firms. We recently visited a bunch of design companies in Seattle. We've gone to San Francisco, other places like that. So to raise funds for that, we've developed a product through that. And so this was one of those.
Whoa, that's so cool. I don't know about any of this. It's so awesome.
Yeah, so it was a couple month long process that started in the fall, and then we had our product.
And we manufactured them in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We made 150.
And then it ran out, right? Like,
yeah.
Like people couldn't buy them.
And you couldn't buy them anymore, mm-hmm. and we got so much like good feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And people who wanted more that we decided we were going to take it further. So hopefully we can make contributions in the future to the program here at Western. And just kind of like develop the education for the students.
Yeah.
So this launch is kind of to like show that you guys have more of them, or like what's the difference between then and now?
Well, we had to manufacture all these units
right.
on campus utilizing our student labor, basically. We utilized a CNC shop downstairs, which cut out all the, you know, robotically cut out all the lids. And then we had to do sanding and finishing processes and worry about food safety and everything like that when developing it. So this is to bring it to full production. We're working with a manufacturer to
mm-hmm.
actually get these made so we can make a lot more. And try to reach a broader audience. Everyone's been talking about it to their friends and
yeah.
saying, this is, we need this. So
the hardest thing, I think, was making it. When we made it, it was like we didn't have a long time. And usually before you put a product out there, you want to test it. You want to, you know, go through several renditions. And this was just kind of like, this is our idea. Let's run with it and throw it out there. And, you know, there's a lot of things that we were limited in just due to, like, our skills and,
mm-hmm.
you know, our manufacturing, our, you know, little manufacturing process. So bringing it to the next level, we were able to pick a certain glass that we wanted, you know, figure out the shape that we really wanted, use the wood that we wanted, and, you know, manufacture ones that actually, you know, 100% fit. These ones we, you know, used, but there's better ones out there.
Right.
We had
and
to,
so.
You know, we found some products to source, and we had to build our designs so that it fit around those constraints. You know, we found
mm-hmm.
a jar that would work.
Oh.
We found a strainer that
yeah.
would work. Because we, first of all, we couldn't build those things because we needed to be, we needed regulation around food safety and stuff like that. For us to build a food-safe stainless steel strainer
mm-hmm.
would be
mm-hmm.
difficult. So we sourced one, and so everything kind of had to be designed around that. With this, we have the freedom to design all
do
the way
more,
from
yeah.
And we had a lot
yeah.
more limited budget. It was just like whatever our club had to go with.
Yeah.
Who's your guys' manufacturer? Like, is it local?
No,
local
we're working.
Person?
Well, I'm working with business partners in Bellingham here, and we're manufacturing it overseas, just because that's the most cost-effective solution.
Right. Is it like China overseas?
Yes.
Has it been hard, like, finding people that'll manufacture
your
product?
No, they're actually really, they're really into it and interested, especially if it's like an innovative product, because then they know that they'll be making money in the future.
Yep.
So what we're doing is we're actually working with a few different manufacturers who are outsourcing their work to others. So it's a collaborative effort across a few different businesses.
So I've talked to other people about this product because I think it's so cool. I think it's so awesome how you guys like tip it upside down. Like one of my, like someone who I was talking to, they asked me to ask what the biggest difference is between these ones and the ones that Teavana makes.
Which ones are the ones that Teavana makes? They make several, so.
Yeah.
Well, our method is a little bit more user-friendly, mm-hmm. I'd say, and simpler to use, as That's well as we just have some really cool features. So, like, since this is magnetically connected to the lid, mm-hmm. when you're done steeping your tea, when you flip it over, it becomes a drainage dish,
mm-hmm.
Which is just kind of nice because then you just take that hassle out of the situation. Like if you have a bunch of loose leaf tea and something, you're like, where am I going to put it? I just want to drink my tea right now, but I got to go find somewhere to throw this out. Ours is also a little bit more geared towards the portability aspect of it and the travel, as well as we have a really cool aesthetic and we have honest materials. And there's an aspect of reusability there.
A lot of the competition that we've seen just when we were first trying to develop the product, we were trying to find something that was unique. So we looked at a bunch of other, you know, tea solutions out there, and none of them allowed you to easily get the tea out once it's done brewing.
Right.
So you brew it, and it just keeps brewing
while you're drinking.
And that's the unique thing with this
ball
process.
Yeah.
And one of our guys, the coolest thing about this was it wasn't one guy, you know, one person in our team that came up with the idea. It was a collective of everyone's mm-hmm. input, and you know, it was one person's suggestion. What if you could flip it over and brew it, and then you turn it upside down? And that's really benefited this.
We also researched studies of how long you're supposed to actually brew tea.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be like 3 minutes is
like
the best brewing time. But everyone, you know, everyone has a difference. Some people really like their tea light, mm-hmm. and some people really like it, you know, really strong. And so this gives you just the opportunity. If you don't want to keep brewing, you don't have to.
Yeah.
You don't have to like try to figure out like, oh, I don't want to brew anymore, like go away. But also it's nice too because like when you take it with you, like, you know, let's say I have tea in the morning and I finish it and I just want to fill this up with water for the rest of the day, it's like I don't have to worry about where this is going to go. It's just going to stay with the vessel and I just take the tea out and then I have clean water. So I think it's just more like we wanted this to, like, go with you and not just feel like you're tied into one vessel for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
How will... Hold on. I'm right going in my thought. Okay. How will the profits, like, how are the profits going to be split up between all of you? Since so many people have worked on it, mm-hmm. how is that going to work?
Some of our efforts that we've been putting in it need to be paid off just because of the amount of hours that have been done for that. But the major goal for this was to put the profits back into IDSA, our student fund, because they were the ones who built this and invented it. And you know, it was kind of three of us that decided, let's take this product further, but it's still everyone's idea for this, so we really want to benefit the student chapter. So a percentage of it is going to IDSA. Obviously, the manufacturers and the people that we're working with need to be paid, too.
And a little percent is also going to school.
A royalty deal. So we're not getting nearly 100% of the profits at all.
Because after
it comes to market, we won't be handling anything as far as the business side of it goes, shipping, manufacturing, packaging, and advertising. Pretty much we're just working as like the design group that came up with the product.
So we get a percentage of it, and it's, you know, but that's the goal, is to get that percentage of it over here.
So do you guys think you'll be working, like, over time? I'm sure they'll probably want, like, a newer model. Do you guys think you'll be doing that in the future, maybe?
We're already sort of working on that.
Mm.
The next one will be a newer model. All the parts will be custom. So it'll have the same look and feel, but it'll be a newer version.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Dang.
we've been doing things like using 3D modeling programs to dial in exactly how we want things to fit together, as well as using some like aspects of like injection molding, like custom parts, and laser cutting like our own full diagrams for the stringer.
That's so cool. I don't know like anything about this stuff. Like I just want to sit here and like watch you guys like, do stuff like that. Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
What year are all you guys?
Juniors.
We're all juniors.
So what are you guys gonna do? Are you guys graduating? Is this like a industrial design a 4-year track?
Yeah.
It's five for me.
For a lot of people, it's 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The industrial design program here at Western is really cool. It's like really team oriented, and we collaborate a lot on various things like this fundraiser, for example. But we also put on shows of our design work, and we often, you know, we sell things downtown. But it's also super competitive, and it's a super selective introductory process. And then to advance to junior year, they only take 12 students.
Wow.
So there's 12 students in the graduating class each year.
No way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Holy crap. So this is like worse than kinesiology. Is it like, is it that hard to like get into as kinesiology?
It's tricky.
I mean, so your freshman year you apply and then they let 18 a quarter in. Because it's 35 total for the entire year, that level. And then
so
junior year.
That would be like 9 or 10.
Oh, 9 or 10. Never mind. You're right. And then junior year, I think for our junior year, we had 19 with you. But some years have like 30.
Yeah.
It just depends on.
Some people realize, oh, I didn't have all the physics courses that I need, so they end up having to take an extra year. I had to do that.
Yeah.
Some people, like, I had to do that.
Yeah. And so, I don't know. But yeah. It's
what do you guys plan to do after you graduate?
Find a job.
What does any
I guess really what do you
But yeah, the nice thing is we get to connect with clients and real people out in the industry while we're here. So we're highly encouraged over the summers to get internships, and during our junior year we've worked with two outside companies, one who manufactures outdoor products and another industrial design firm. So we get, they try to make sure that we get a lot of outside experience and start making connections quick.
And one way that we kind of did that was through this project, because the majority of the money that we raised from our first show went towards like transportation and like hotel costs for a trip that we did down to Seattle, where we got to connect with like clients and design firms and stuff. So it's a kind of organized kind of deal.
Mm. Our shows are a great way to network as well, just because people are interested in what
new
designers are doing and their new ideas. And I think another thing for this is we have a junior show at the end of the year, and then the seniors have a senior show at the end of the year, and it's like those aren't funded by anyone. They're funded by us.
Oh.
And so, like, our hope is, you know, if we make enough money, this won't just help like the future classes go and see firms, but it'll also help them be able to throw a show and not worry so much about, you know, like how much everyone has to, you know, put in.
That's
but they can just have the show that represents their work just as well.
We also end up spending a lot on materials.
Yeah.
It's like I feel like it's the most expensive major ever, because you're buying a bunch of stuff and you're trying to like bend plastic and thermoform things, or you're just going through wood, and you don't know like exactly what you're doing, so you end up like wasting a lot. And we also go through tools like pretty quickly in the shop.
Luckily, we have some department fees that can cover things for the building. But I mean, when you get into your senior year, you're designing a full size appearance model prototype of something. So last year, they designed Chase lounges. And they just about everything they did was outsourced. So large pieces of bent metal that are powder coated and stuff like that. It costs a lot.
The cheapest one was $1,200.
You guys have to pay for that yourself?
Yeah.
Holy crap. What the heck?
And housing.
And then also like things like 3D printing and like water jetting, which is you know, like rapid prototyping methods. Yeah. We pay for all that too. So we hope that like at the end of this fundraiser, maybe we could get like a personal 3D printer in here.
Yeah.
What the heck? That's so terrible.
Yeah. So yeah, that's another hope too, is just bringing in more tools for everyone to understand how to use. It's like we have this laser cutter which etches.
Super helpful.
I don't know if we have anything that shows it, but it etches and makes patterns in wood or other materials, and it's super useful and super helpful, but it gets jammed up a lot because so many people are using it. So it's just like tools like that that sometimes you just need another one, or we don't have a 3D printer that's easy access to us, or we don't even have a printer and we do printing like all the time. It's like we should get a color printer here and not have to pay for like $200 a print per quarter.
The school should do something for you guys. I'm like so serious. I'm trying to think what program could we start that would like help fund students? Cause that sucks. Like what?
Yeah.
Cause you could totally do it. I feel like there's so many resources. Cause I had no idea. Otherwise, I would have totally hopped on that and like try to start something. That's weird. I want to think of something.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll make my article
around that.
I feel
like for a lot of majors too. I mean, you do. You're in art and like all your art supplies
you
want to buy.
Yeah.
You want to do some extravagant. Art piece that's in your mind, but it's like at the same time you're spending all that money
right.
on it. It's just hard.
I feel like art's not expensive as this stuff though. Like all the stuff you guys have to pay for, like they could pay for their stuff. What about this stuff? Like, okay.
I'm just gonna end the questions because then the copywriters will have to read all this.